This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, good morning and thank you so much for checking us out here on The Morning Run. I'm Tan Chung Han, with me, Joyce Goh. I mean, unless if you have been a loyal and faithful listener, then not so much checking out, but thank you so much for sticking with us here on The Morning Run. It is the second day of Christmas 2018. Joyce, had a good weekend, had a good Christmas day.
I did. Good morning, Han.
Morning. And,
yeah, well, Christmas was good. It's a good time to spend with family. We had relatives down, catching up with family, and we had Christmas Eve dinner. My husband and I hosted it at our place.
That's nice.
And my family came over. My in-laws came over. But I must say, credit to my sister-in-law. She led the whole charge on preparing for Christmas Eve. I just helped with, you know, bringing her to groceries. She's visiting from Singapore.
Oh.
And also, yeah, helping out. But she led the charge, and it turned out to be really good and really fun to have everyone over.
Everyone. But I see the producers and myself looking at you. Where were our invites?
Well, we could do one later on this week, but that was just for family. How was your weekend?
Excuses. Yeah, it was great. So I had a good catch up with friends from my secondary school days. Oh. And the extended friends. So made some new friends, got some nice gifts. So yeah, that was
reunion.
Very, very nice. Yeah, nice reunion. Reminiscing about the good old days. All right, here's what's coming up in the next hour. So let's go ahead and give people a heads up here, Joyce, about what are the topics we'll be discussing between now and 7.
Well, one of the things is social media. Can't run away from social media today. But is social media the best avenue to fuel service complaints?
And this is in response to the very public debacle between an AirAsia employee with Malaysia Airports, whereby there was a tweet. Was it a tweet?
Yeah, it was a... I think it was
a social media post. Yeah.
On KLIA2's situation. Like, how clean is it?
And then next thing you know, the cops are involved because of this social media posting. Mm-hmm. So we'll talk about the role of social media when it comes to addressing, you know, service complaints. Also, we'll talk about millennials, whether, you know, they are actually spending less than previous generations. Is that by choice or just because they don't have enough money? We'll discuss that. And in just a bit, we're going to ask about, you know, the gift etiquette, or what constitutes good gift etiquette, and especially when giving or receiving gifts. So all that's coming up between now and 7 a.m. So make sure you stay right here on BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, that was Queen with Thank God It's Christmas. And today specifically, it's the second day of Christmas, aka Boxing Day. And thank you so much to Roland Tan, who tweeted in wishing us a happy Boxing Day. Well, happy Boxing Day to you too. It is now 7 minutes past 6 a.m. Now 6 a.m. 6 a.m. You can tell I'm totally hungover from Christmas because I can't even get a.m. right. But no matter, the show will keep on going. Now, folks, you can be part of this conversation. You can WhatsApp us. Our number is 018-789-8899, or you can tweet us at BFM Radio. All right, so Joyce, earlier we were talking about you know, your Christmas Day experiences, and then I'm sure the exchanging of gifts was very much central to that experience.
More so for the kids?
What, your hubby didn't get you anything?
No, he did. But I'm saying the kids were very excited about that unwrapping of gifts.
Right.
But actually, isn't Boxing Day the day to unwrap your gifts, not Christmas Day, right?
You know what? I've been opening gifts pretty much all month long because I'm so popular like
Lucky
that.
Lucky you.
Yeah, I know. Now, okay, so an important component to the unwrapping of gifts, or actually just the gift exchange experience, right, is the reaction. Okay, and so there's this article here on theconversation.com, which you know, talks about the recipient's a code whereby, you know, recipient design. Okay, recipient design, you know, basically tailoring your expressions, either as a giver or the recipient of that gift, you know, just to maintain the positivity around Christmas, right? And so sometimes you may get gifts that you may not like, but you have to design your expressions, you know, in order to just, you know, keep up appearances that, you know, this gift although it may be unwanted, you still like them anyway. And, you know, looking at this phenomenon, I don't know about you, I've had to do this a couple of times in my life. And I found it a really, really awkward situation whereby you know the gift is pretty much useless. You know, and it's not something you want, but you got to pretend like you appreciate it anyways, right? I'm sure you've had similar experiences.
Yeah, yeah. But sometimes I wonder, right, does this mean that... Because for me, sometimes when people give me presents, I don't open it straight away. Because to me, it's like, oh, I'll take it back first and then...
Really?
I'll wait. Yeah. But some people prefer for you to open it. So yeah. Ask the gift giver, do you want me to open it now? If not, sometimes I say, oh, you can take it back first. I'll take it back. Because, I don't know, sometimes... even ang pao, right? When people give you ang pao, it's not...
you don't open it in front of them.
So to me, I also do the same with gifts.
But it's different though. I mean, ang pao etiquette versus gift
etiquette. It's just to me lah.
Oh, to you? Okay, yeah, well, that's fine. You know, so I recall, actually there have been quite a few experiences. So there's this one time I was a competitive swimmer as a kid, right? And so I had really short hair. And somebody obviously didn't really know who I was and gave me a hair comb set, right? So I'm like, what on earth is this? But then I remember I was in my early teens, I think, and I had to act all, oh, you know, thank you very much, auntie, uncle, or whoever it was who gave it to me, right? Now, I understand the importance of, you know, tailoring those expressions, or as this article says, you know, that recipient design, I see the importance. But, you know, it almost kind of makes you want to wonder, you know, what would happen if I actually told them how I truly felt, you know? Like, wouldn't... You know, I mean, I would think that there's got to be some space for some level of honesty here, so just opposed to just faking everything on Christmas Day.
Yeah, I would like to know I would like to know. And I think then could give another gift. Some people tend to, if they don't like it, they just say, oh, thank you. But they don't go on and say, oh, how much they like it and all. They just say, oh, thank you for the gift. And that's it. You know, they don't have to like be all fake about it. Right. But sometimes what people do as well is they recycle gifts, you know, they give someone else the gift that they don't like.
Yeah. Yeah. But haven't you had any of these experiences? You know, I'm sure you've got. Come on, spill the beans.
When I open a gift and I don't like it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'll say thank you, but I don't go on, oh, I love it and all. No, I don't the whole, faking thing. No. No, I'm not very good at faking the whole, oh, you know, but yeah.
Okay.
I just said thank you very much and that's it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, so let us know how you guys have responded, right? How have you tailored your recipient design when it comes to some of these awkward gift exchange experiences? WhatsApp us 018-789-8899, or you can tweet us at BFM Radio.
You know, sometimes in this season as well, when it comes to gift giving, you have to buy for a stranger or colleague, you know, like Secret Santa, and you're not sure what to buy for the person. How would you buy? How would you go about it? And sometimes that's when you receive a gift and you're like, oh, actually, this is not really very me.
Yeah, well,
but that's not really the gift giver's fault.
This is where I think gift cards are very crucial, right? And you know, it's a safe bet. I mean, it's not quite cash, but it's close enough, right? But again, you know, if you got any tips or you got any experiences that you'd like to share, WhatsApp us 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. Stay tuned. This is The Morning Run on BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, thank you so much for starting off your day with this. I'm Tan Chung Han, with me, Joyce Goh. Now, here on this program, The Morning Run, we have also a sub-program known as Ringgit and Cents, the show that's all about personal finance, and it airs on Thursdays after the 9:30 a.m. news bulletin. Now, often on that program, we have guests who highlight some of the the bad financial habits that younger people, millennials, often have or often display. But turns out it may be more symptomatic of a deeper problem, at least that's according to the Federal Reserve. So the Fed actually says that millennials spend less than previous generations because they literally have less money.
Yeah. So that's what you're saying. And I guess it is happening not just in the US, but everywhere else. Wage growth is just not keeping up with the cost of living day to day. I think back about, you know, my parents' time, you know, at that time, dual income. My dad's a teacher, my mom's a nurse, and they're able to you know, afford a home and able to give my brother and I good education and all that. But like today, it's so difficult for young parents or even dual income. I mean, young parents or not dual income, but young people when you first marry off to afford their first home.
Right.
You know, the ringgit or your paycheck just doesn't stretch that much further compared to, say, 30 years ago.
Mm.
Do you think so, Han?
Yeah, well, so it's not just a case of the rising cost of living, but we also see different trends when it comes to retail spend, or sorry, consumer spending. And very often it had been attributed to just, say, shifting demands or shifting preferences. But turns out, according to the Fed, that's not the case. Millennials just don't have as much money. So things like delaying that home purchase, right? You know, often it's been said that younger people tend to value experiences more than material assets, so that's why they are, you know, less likely to plonk down on a home right out of college or after having your first job, or even cars, right? So they are shying away from owning cars, owning private vehicles. They would rather share or use Uber, Grab, etc. And also just, you know, where they eat. You know, in the US, you got restaurant chains like Applebee's and Fridays that perhaps aren't doing so well now because of Buffalo Wild Wings. Apparently, they had attributed it to millennials' desire to have more authentic cuisine.
Or healthier, eat healthier.
Healthier, you know, cook and all that. So that is actually putting a dent into some of these sectors. But then that... I mean, all that I said there apparently was a misperception, because now you've got the U.S. Central Bank saying that it's just because they... don't have as much money.
Yeah, and data shows is middle class life is now 30% more expensive than it was 20 years ago. And, you know, Americans born in the 1940s had a 92% chance at making more money than their parents. But millennials born 80s and above, I think they only have about 50% chance of doing the same. So it's just, and also I think young Americans also have no longer have access to pensions that a lot of their parents and grandparents relied on. It's just the whole landscape when it comes to cost of living has just changed so much.
Yeah, well, I think it's a bit of both. Okay, so it's on one hand the financial pressures that millennials have right now, like you mentioned, that Joyce. But I also think there is this change in mindset as well. You know, there's this whole YOLO phenomenon. Mm. So you only live
living
once.
In the moment,
right? So go get those experiences, you know, because you will likely, you being these millennials, you know, probably work till the day you die. The notion of retirement is fast eroding for this generation. Now, according to some definitions, I am a millennial, although some other definitions classify me as a Zennial.
Gen Y.
I'm not that young, right? So Zennial. So this hybrid between the Generation X and the Millennials. So there's that in-betweens there. And you know, I must say that, you know, among my peers, there's been a lot of pushback to the lifestyles and the preferences or even the principles that our parents' generation had. So I think there's a bit of both here. On one hand, there's the lack of funds. Yes, rising cost of living, all that good stuff. But then at the same time, I still think there is this change in mindset.
And also change in spending patterns.
Right.
Think, yeah.
Yeah. So you can WhatsApp us 018-789-8899. Well, let us know what you think. You know, your thoughts on millennials. Are they just the spoiled stereotype that we often portray them to be, and they're just, you know, perhaps more flippant with their money, or are they facing severe financial pressures that perhaps we are not so sympathetic about? 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. We've got the 6:30 a.m. news bulletin coming up, and taking us there is Fleet Foxes with Ragged Wood here on The Morning Run. BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, that was Always with Dreams Tonight. Well, you are tuned into The Morning Run. Hopefully you've had sweet dreams during your sleep, your Christmas night sleep, and then you've woken up to a fresh, brand new day. And thank you so much for joining us here on The Morning Run. Han and Joyce, keeping you company all the way till 10 a.m. this morning. And thank you to Fazri, who tweeted in saying, well, you know, commenting on a story that we mentioned earlier, this is on CNBC, about how the Federal Reserve, the U.S. Central Bank, has revealed that millennials spend less than previous generations because they literally have less money. So it's not so much a case of the stereotype whereby millennials are just bad at saving because of YOLO and, you know, chasing
avocado
all these
toast.
Yeah, avocado toast. It's not so much that, but, you know, they just basically have less money. Mm-hmm. And Fazri tweeted in saying that, quote, "We make the same amount of money as people our age did back in the 90s, just that the money is worth much less than it used to." So once again, talking to the point of the rising cost of living and how wages are not growing and keeping pace with the rising cost of living. So that's putting financial pressure on millennials. So, you know, perhaps we should cut them some slack. Mm. They have not just Fazri speaking on their behalf, but also the Fed speaking on their behalf, saying that, you know, they actually legitimately, or they've got legit financial problems, to use millennial speak there. Anyways, you can be part of the conversation all morning long. Our WhatsApp number is 018-789-8899, or you can tweet us at BFM Radio. And don't forget to tune in to Ringgit and Sense, the show that's all about personal finance, Thursdays after the 9:30 a.m. news bulletin. All right, Joyce, let's move on to this next story, something closer to home here. So I don't know if you guys have been aware of this. So the AirAsia head of communications, Muhammad Aziz Laika Ali, had tweeted a picture or video of the less than ideal state of KLIA2, in particular one rubbish bin that was apparently crawling with maggots there. Well, guess what? It turns out that social media post, that tweet, actually landed him into some hot water. The cops were involved. Now, according to the Malay Mail were informed that it was Malaysia Airports, MAHB, that lodged the report. Now, just to give you an update, it appears that now the head of communications for AirAsia is no longer being summoned by the police, right? But it certainly generated enough headlines to, you know, make you wonder, well, was it that bad that Malaysia Airports felt it justified to get the cops involved? But personally, I think they were overreaching there.
Yeah. Well, in Aziz Laikar's tweet, he goes, "My airports today issued a fancy statement saying KLIA and KLIA2 had exceeded the service quality targets of MAFCOM's quality of service framework." Mm-hmm. Then he says, "Here's a video of termites at rubbish that can be located at gate P6 this morning while there was a departure to Perth." So he posted that up. That was his actual post. I feel if it was any other person, so this is my, I feel, Han, do you think it's because he's from AirAsia? It's because of that. It's kind of like collateral damage because he's from AirAsia and MAHB took that kind of personally. Mm-hmm. If it was any other person, like another customer, or was it me and you or anyone just tweeting a post, a video or a photo, because, you know, we're always about airport cleanliness as well now when it comes to the toilets and all that. Do you think it would have been as serious that, you know, that they got cops involved?
Yeah, well, I think the, you know, whoever, you know, highlighted the issue of the, well, I know the tweet said termites initially, but turns out it was maggots. But, you know, I think anyone should be able to highlight these kinds of gross conditions at mm-hmm. the airport, right? Mm-hmm. Now, I think what you're alluding to is the very public spat between AirAsia and Malaysia Airports. You know, there are disputes, everything from the PSEs to services to how you define KLIA2. Is it a full size airport or is it a low cost terminal? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that's the backstory. But beyond that, I don't think just because Muhammad Aziz is the head of comms at AirAsia, you know, that should warrant police intervention. You know, I think that's just highly inappropriate.
Yeah. And I think for every company nowadays, in this day of social media, you know, you have to be used to people commenting on their service or whatever. You know, now feedback is really fast with social media, you know, and it's no longer where people have to call in and wait to be put on hold to finally reach a service person to give your complaints to or get
information. Or fill
out the
form.
Yeah. So now it's just social media. And I think any company should be ready for this, right? As opposed to going to the police. I don't know. I think that's a bit, like you say, overreaching.
All right. Well, let us know what you think about this episode here. 018-789-8899. That is our WhatsApp number. 018-789-8899. Or tweet us at BFM Radio. Should the cops have been involved after this tweet by the AirAsia comms or PR chief? Was MAHB perhaps justified in calling the cops? Let us know right here on The Morning Run on BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9 Soul Asylum there with Runaway Train. You are tuned into The Morning Run. I'm Tan Chung Han and with me, Joyce Goh. Thank you so much for those who have tweeted and WhatsApped in. So earlier we're talking about the cops being called in on this tweet made by AirAsia's PR chief on the state of hygiene at KLIA2. You know, we asked the question, well, was that necessary? Did MAHB overreact? I mean, or was MAHB justified in getting the cops involved? And we had a couple of tweets in, Joyce.
Yeah, we have a WhatsApp coming in from Life Fizal saying, good morning, not surprised at all. There's this mentality of bought police report when one feels slighted in any way. Kasihan MAHB.
So a bit of sarcasm on this Boxing Day morning there from Life. And also we got a WhatsApp in from Tani.
Yeah, Tani says MAHB overreacted, period. Rather than addressing the issue, they decided that shooting the messenger is better. High time Anthony Lok gets involved.
And then here again, we've got more politicians getting involved. I wonder if the cops and even these politicians are probably sometimes thinking, man, like, this is not what I signed up for. You know, why am I having to deal with some of these rather trivial matters? And like Laif mentioned, just because someone feels slighted, then they have to get involved, you know, dedicate precious time and resources towards some of these petty little things. Anyways, you can be part of this conversation. You can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899, or you can tweet us at BFM Radio. And speaking about Twitter, so we've discussed quite a few stories already this morning, Joyce, and one of them is millennials, whether they should be given more sympathy as opposed to just perpetuating that stereotype about them perhaps being too frivolous with their money. So earlier this morning, we spoke about how the US Central Bank, the Federal Reserve, has actually said, well, guess what? Millennials just plain don't have enough money, okay? It's not so much that they're bad at saving money. They just have a lot less to work with. And we've had some tweets commenting on that matter.
Yeah, so we ask you guys, do you agree that millennials are spending less because they have less? And we have Ben Tan saying, our parents don't have Starbucks, don't have broadband, iPhones, budget airlines, less distraction, more kids.
Not to say that kids aren't a big expense item as well, investment. But, you're right. So, there's plenty more avenues that are competing for our interests, for our hard-earned ringgit, and a lot of, channels for some of these flippant spending, so to speak. So the pressures, the temptations are a lot stronger now, as Ben Tan says, compared to in the past.
Yeah, we also have JC Neo saying, when we asked whether or not we agree millennials are spending less because they have less, JC Neo says not so, because they also spend more than the last generation, and they don't think as much of the future.
Well, perhaps, right? Perhaps. And again, this is a topic that we regularly discuss on Ringgit and Cents, because on one hand, you've got the YOLO phenomenon, you only live once, so there's less emphasis on material, stocking up on material goods and physical assets, and more spend on these experiences, holidays, because hey, life is fickle. Not to be a bit of a downer on Boxing Day, but actually very recently, this week, I attended a funeral, and I was reminded, of my family friend. The mom passed away, and she was just in her early 60s there. And so the family is going into Christmas without their mother. And, once again, I'm reminded about how fickle and how fleeting life is. So,
and how fragile.
Right. So really, should so much emphasis be placed on, padding up the bank account? Or, like millennials may say, you only live once, so go out there and enjoy it. Right, maybe.
Well, Han, we also have a fellow BFMer tweeting in, Tina Carmelia, saying, this is on the AirAsia MAHB story, saying juvenile intimidation technique by MAHB. They should be acting on the complaint rather than the person complaining, especially since it came with visual evidence. So hope AirAsia stands behind the guy as he did nothing wrong.
Great stuff there, Tina, as always. And then also, you've got just one more tweet that just came in seconds ago, talking about that same issue there, the cops getting involved in this tweet by AirAsia's PR chief. We asked the question whether or not social media is the best avenue to field service complaints. Baron Noir says, no, but it's certainly the fastest. So no, not the best avenue to field service complaints, but it certainly is the fastest. Never fails to get their attention. Sure, fair enough, but should it involve the attention from the cops as well? You can be part of this conversation all morning long, 018-789-8899. That is our WhatsApp number, or tweet us at BFM Radio. We've got the 7 a.m. news bulletin coming up, and taking us there is The Beatles with Penny Lane here on The Morning Run on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.